My name is Adam Roberts. I'm a professional cyclist since 4 years now, and I've been into sports since I'm like 4 years old, doing a lot of team sport and also individual sports. And through the years, I've specialized into cycling more and more.
Yeah. Okay. And like, so obviously being in Canada, I saw that you were like a two-time Canadian national champion as well.
I'm two-time national champion on the time trial.
Yep.
And I'm one-time national champion when I was a junior on the road.
Okay.
Yeah, so three times.
Yeah. Not too bad though, is it?
No, it's pretty good. Yeah, it's, I'm happy with it.
And so what kind of got you into cycling in the first place?
Close to where I live, it's a really big mountain bike scene in the summer. Mm-hmm. So I started mountain bike since I'm like 6 years old, approximately.
Yeah.
And I just love the sport. And I transitioned into road biking pretty late, actually. I transitioned into road biking when I was second year junior. So that's about at 17 years old.
Yeah.
And that's at that year that I won national championships. So I just got a maybe easy transition into road.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I've been doing road cycling, yeah.
Cool. And then, so what was it like moving, obviously transitioning from mountain bike to road bike or road cycling? Like, what did you notice the change was between the two as you moved on from one to another?
The big difference, I would say, is that mountain biking, you're pretty much by yourself for the whole race. So everyone starts together, but after 2 or 3 minutes, you start to get your pace and you just ride at your own pace until the finish. But road cycling is a lot longer and there's a lot more strategy involved. So there's like a peloton and there's attack. Teams are gonna like play against each other. That's also a big difference in mountain biking. You don't have teams, but in road biking you have teams, and teamwork is really important if you want to win the race. So I would say mountain biking, you control a lot more variable. It's more you against yourself, and road cycling is a lot more about constantly adjusting to the situation that is happening in the moment. So I would say that's the big difference between the two.
And like as a group then, so how do you kind of function as a group that you've kind of experienced?
So depending on the type of the race, so if it's mostly flat, we'll have like a sprinter, so like the fastest guy and the stronger guy.
Mm-hmm.
So they're gonna like, we're gonna work for them to win the sprint at the end if it arrives in the bunch, so everyone in the peloton. But some stages are for climbers, so if there's a lot of climbing, we're gonna make sure that our climber at the bottom of the climb at the front of the peloton.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the stage for the climber. And there's also like time trial. So time trial, that's the only time we're together. So it's going to be like 2 minutes interval between all the starts, and it's just going to be a time trial. So again, like your time is going to be counted and they got to compare time.
Yeah.
So depending on the course, we're going to work for one person or two person, depending on your skill and ability. Yeah.
So how well has that gone for you so far? Like, have you ever had any issues as a group or maybe with certain people that kind of stopped you from performing what you need to?
I would say that like a thing about road cycling that's it's hard, especially when you start, is that yes, it's a team sport, but there's only one person winning.
Yeah.
So it's not like everybody knows in basketball, if everybody wins. But in cycling, if you want to win, you have to have your team helping you, but you're still the only one on the podium.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing that with experience, you have to accept that if you have to trust that if you put the work for the others, at one point in another race, they're gonna help you back.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's the thing for sure. You gotta accept, because if you're not willing to work for the other guys, people are gonna see it very fast, yeah. And you're just gonna be isolated in your team, and you're never gonna have your chance to have everyone work for your victory. So yeah, you work hard for others, and you learn to appreciate other victory and really take them as your own, even if you're not on the podium with them.
Yeah, because I was thinking, like, maybe at some point you might be thinking, like, shit, that couldn't be me, or being maybe feeling like I really want to be on the podium, but then obviously the guy on your team's on it instead. Like, have you ever had any of those feelings, any of those thoughts come through at any point?
Yeah, like, I'm not gonna hide it for sure. Sometimes, I mean, there's a lot of, like, let's say in a team of 14, there's two or three guys that approximately have the same skills.
Mm-hmm.
So the director is gonna choose according to the race and according about what he's seeing from other races and everything, and he's gonna call the shots from pretty much who has the we're working for the day. But yeah, sometimes you're like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I could have got on the podium. Like I said, like you just trust that the work you gave for him, he's gonna pay you back at one time, and one time it's gonna be your turn.
Yeah. And so we'll go to, like, your first experience then of road cycling, and obviously, like, from what I've seen anyways, it's a massive endurance event, and I refreshed myself by looking for a video of it now, and then I was like, shit, that is fucking long. It is. Like, how many kilometers do you do? Is it like 200, 300 kilometers?
Yeah, so, like, yeah, sometimes, like, the races are gonna be, like, in between 100 and 200K. Sometimes it goes a little over 200K.
Yeah.
But, Not that much, but the thing is, it's most of the time it's stage racing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gonna be like six stages, one after the other.
Yeah.
So, like, in 1 week you're gonna complete more than 1000K. So yeah, it's an endurance sport for sure.
And that's what made you think, yeah, I really want to do this as a career.
It's also the training. I feel like the beautiful thing about road cycling is that you're training, but you're outside, and, like, I'm traveling all over the world, and I can see places while I'm training.
Sure.
So that's, like, a plus. I'm not, like, always in the gym or always on the track or always in the pool. It feels like, yeah, I'm training a lot of hours on the bike because it's a dangerous sport.
Yeah.
But I'm still visiting a little bit and seeing things. So, yeah. I feel like it's a good trade-off.
Oh, so what has your training been like then? So kind of describe, like, a normal training day for you.
Okay, so yeah, a normal training day for me, it's going to be vary around 2 hours on the bike to 7 hours on the bike. The intensity is going to vary. So sometimes it's going to be just easy, but sometimes gonna be long intervals, sometimes gonna be more shorter intervals, sometimes just gonna be skill work. So I'm gonna do I'm gonna simulate a race or a course, and I'm gonna practice turning and everything.
So
that's pretty much the physical side of thing. After I come back, I'll make sure to have a nap, I'll make sure to stretch, I'll make sure to do some foam roller to recover.
Mm-hmm.
And for sure, one thing that is super important that I learned through the years is that, like, you get better when you recover than when you train.
Yeah.
So that's, like, my priority is always sleep. For sure, that's the first one. And after it's eating, and after it's training. So,
Okay.
So,
Is that where you take your naps then, I guess, in between those sessions?
What?
Is that where you take your naps, in between your sessions?
Yeah, I would.
I do not blame you. It's just 2 to 7 hours, bro, is long. Mad. And,
yeah, but I think the peloton is faster, so it's not that bad. It's going to be like five hours on the bike. So
yeah.
Go fast.
Man, you know, you're really selling it to me right now. I'm sorry. So with, let's say, your journey then from mentally, so what did you experience any changes in your mentality as you progressed through your career in cycling?
Yeah, I did. I wouldn't say I was interested in it when I was younger, but I always like hear people talking about it, and I was like, yeah, I don't know. I'm just gonna go hard when it's time to race, and that's gonna be enough.
Okay.
But yeah, 3 years ago, I changed coach, and he just gave me some lecture to do, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna give it a shot. And yeah, I started to be very interested in this subject, and I started like to apply it and like see difference, like the way I was talking to myself in races and the way I was organizing my day, or the way I was just like seeing problems or seeing obstacles. Yeah, I was just able to understand better my mind, better and better. And it's a process. I'm still reserving at least 1 hour of reading and like journaling each day to make sure I'm improving. So yeah, I think it's just an essential part of training, and that's why through the years I've been making sure that it's a crucial part of my training.
So you mentioned as well that you would talk to yourself. So what would you normally kind of say to yourself when you're cycling?
Like when I was like younger, when I when I was maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I would always beat myself up. Like I would just value how much I was hurting. So I was, the only thing I was thinking about in the race was that I'm not going hard enough. I should go hard, like harder.
Okay.
That was pretty much the only thing I was thinking about, harder. And like, as you know, in a race or in any sports, you don't go faster or you don't win because you work hard. Like you go harder. For us, we win because we go faster. And yeah, there's a link between how hard you push the pedal and how hard you go fast, but there's so much more involved. That's the main thing. I feel like right now I'm being able to focus on a lot more things, but also being able to be present in the moment and focus on what's important to make me win the race, and not what's important just to hurt more.
Also, is it a case where when you were younger you're thinking, I'm not in pain enough, I kind of need to make sure I'm struggling a bit more to feel like I'm winning, basically?
Exactly.
Okay. I guess you kind of learned from that experience that it didn't always mean that you're winning in that case. So with, because obviously it's such an endurance sport, and then you have to go through all of this time as well when you're cycling through like different altitudes and gradients as well. So when you get to like the hard part of the races, like what do you mentally experience? Like, do you, can you really feel like the burn, or sometimes like in a flow, or what goes on?
It depends. Yeah, on great day, I feel like on great day I pretty much don't have to talk to myself. On great days, like you said, I'm pretty much in the flow, so I don't know, I just follow the wheels and it seems like everything is going great. But it's mostly on like bad days that I think it's really important, because especially in my sports, it's like a cumulative of all the stages. So if you fuck up in just one, it ruins pretty much all your race. So yeah, on bad stages, let's say I'm very, very hurting on the climb, and like negative thoughts are popping in my head that I'm not strong enough. I just have pretty much two phrases that I will repeat. So, but then not the different, they're just two words. So I have the breath. So I just refocus on the breath, and it helped me like be present with the moment. And like also think about like, I'll just refocus my, rather than focusing my attention on what's hurting right now, I'll focus my attention on like breathing better, pedaling better, being more stable on my bike, like just things that I can do in the moment to distract myself from just thinking about like the pain and making it worse. And I'll also have like in those moments when it's almost finished and I know that I just have to give everything, I just repeat warrior in my mind, just fast and fast, and that's pretty much a two-word that helped me like concentrate my focus and get it away from when something bad is popping in my head. Yeah,
that's good. Like, how did you develop those words then? Yeah. What made you pick those two?
I don't know. I just at first I like read about it. Read about having those specific words that means a lot to you. Mm-hmm. So let's say you have one word, but like they have a whole meaning attached to it. But you don't have to repeat all the meaning to think about it. Just this one word make you do what you want to do.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't really remember how I got those two words. Why I select those two words, but. Yeah, I've been using them for like 2 years now, and it's just automatic pretty much right now. I like every time I feel like I'm struggling and I feel like my attention is not in the right place, I just think about it and refocus. Yeah,
that's good. I mean, I know what you mean though, in terms of like you need like one word that helps you think about all these different things at once in a way. Like, you don't want to be like saying like a whole essay in your head whilst you're going.
Yeah.
You don't want to like just keep on to like one word that means something. So I think the really good one as well is the use of like warrior too. Like, it has so much like meaning of like strength, endurance, being able to finish and like approaching something. But obviously, you're not saying all these individual things in one go. So, yeah.
Exactly. Nice. Yeah.
It's a very good one to have as well. I might steal that one of the warrior.
Yeah.
So let's say with the skills that you have, what do you reckon is like the most important like mental skill to have? So think about, is it like being able to control anxiety? Is it confidence? Is it the self-talk, visualizing?
It's a hard question.
It's not an easy one because there's a lot.
Yeah, I don't like. Say that the one that I use the most, especially in training, before I would be like a lot goal oriented, and I will like refuse everything, not everything, but like everything that is happening contrary to my plan.
Okay.
So I would have like everything mapped out. I still have a plan, like a very precise plan to like guide everything I do during a day. Mm-hmm. But I've been like in the last year especially, I've been making sure to really train my flexibility and being able to be like 100% like in the moment and aware of the moment and being able to adjust accordingly.
Yeah.
And being able like to focus all my attention to the present moment and react to it as the best as I could, rather than every time something would arise that was not in my plan, try to still follow the plan, but it wasn't a good thing to do. So that was maybe not the answer you were expecting, but that's the thing, like. Not refusing what's happening in the moment.
Yeah.
That's a big thing for me. Yeah.
So basically like adapting to what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like training my flexibility and like being able to adapt and like really like, yeah, adjust to the moment and like take the right decision and make the right choice in that moment, rather than just always trying to refuse this moment to like follow the plan you had imagined would happen. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it goes as the plan, but like especially in road cycling, whenever everything, like I said, you don't control that much, mm-hmm. it always go off pretty much. Mm-hmm. So just being able to adapt and like trust that the training is enough and like that you have the ability to respond no matter what, that was a big thing for me also to reduce anxiety. Because when I was like planning everything, like especially at start of the race, I was like very, very anxious, because I was like, if that doesn't happen or that doesn't happen, I'm pretty much screwed, because I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. But just having the self-trust and the self-confidence that, yeah, I'm pretty much okay with everything happening, and I know that I gave everything, my response is pretty much going to be great. Yeah.
Okay. So it's kind of like that you've just accepted what's happening and then you're just using your skill to kind of like adapt and move through it as it happens, in a way.
Yeah, that's exactly that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly that.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what have been then the lows and the highs then of your career so far, do you reckon?
I'll start with the low. So okay. The low was the low was last year. I was aiming. We have like world championship, and I was selected by the national team to do the time trial at world.
Nice.
And that the time trials is really different from all the other discipline in road cycling because it's a lot shorter. It's actually just like it was 36K, so it's gonna take us pretty much like 40 minutes because we're gonna average a little bit more than 50k an hour. Mm-hmm. But it's only by yourself, so you control pretty much, but not everything, but you control a lot more. Mm-hmm. And that was when I like a bit like that was maybe one of the first time I realized that I really was too rigid with my expectation. And like 5 minutes into the race, I was not like my, because we have power now, right? Mm-hmm. And I had planned like all the power precisely that I wanted to hold for the amount of time and everything.
Yeah.
And after 5 minutes, I realized that it was not going according to plan. Yeah. And rather to be able to adjust and just make the best performance that I could make, I just pretty much screwed myself, like trying to do something I was not able to do in that race. So that was like one time when I, that was maybe one of the first times that I realized that I got to change something and be more flexible and be able to adjust to perform at the best of my like capacity in that moment. Mm-hmm. So that was maybe one of the worst moments after the race. I was distraught. I was that's not possible. I was like aiming for a top 10 and I was like 40th or something. Oh, so that was pretty bad.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to do better this year. I still have a year in that category, so I'm excited to do better.
Yeah.
And the best moment, I would say it was, we have a pretty big races in Montreal, close to where I live. Mm-hmm. It's with the highest level, so with the guys that do the Tour de France and everything. And I was on the national team. I was invited on the national team.
Nice.
And I was able to get the breakaway. So in all road cycling, there's going to be a peloton, and in front there's like a breakaway, and it's going to be between 3 and like 15 riders.
Yeah.
And I was in a breakaway of 6 all races, and like it was a 50k course, and on the 50k course, I knew about maybe 200 people screaming my name.
Yeah.
So like each turn I had some extra energy with everyone screaming my name. So that like at the end I just saw everybody, and it was one of my best races ever. So I couldn't be more thankful. So that was maybe one of the best moments I had in my career. Yeah,
sounds good. And when was that then? Was that also last year, or was that more recently?
Yeah, this was the two events were last year. They arrived at like 3 weeks interval.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And like when you're cycling as well, is it so you don't have any like earphones or anything, do you? It's just as it is.
Oh, when you're in the race, you have a radio.
Yeah.
So in the road cycling, like each team has two cars in the caravan that it's called. So the caravan is like all the it's like cars that are following the peloton. Mm-hmm. So with the radio, the people in the car will give us gap. Mm-hmm. So between, let's say, the peloton and the break, they will give us information about what's coming. They will give us information about there's a seat so you can have water and food in like 20k or something.
Yeah.
So we have one earphone to have the info. Yeah.
Okay. Because the way I was thinking about endurance events is like obviously not having any music or anything else going on. It's such a focus for the whole thing as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty like, we don't have focus, and like they don't, like the radio is pretty much always off. They don't talk a lot on the radio. So it's a big training to be able to be focused for like five or or 6 hour even, because in the peloton it's like, it's really, it's not that much stressful, but you always have to be aware because just one small mistake will take you down, but also take like the 12 guys that are behind you.
So
and everyone is the same, like if one person make a mistake, at least like all the people behind him are gonna try to not crash or are gonna crash. So for 4 hour you're not only like pushing your body, but you're also making sure that you're not crashing. So I would say that some races are pretty easy on the body, but they're really, really hard on the mind. Like sometimes you just finish a race and you're physically, you're not exhausted, but mentally you're just, you've been stressed for like, you've been like avoiding crashes for like 4 hours. So you're just mentally, you're just tired.
Yeah. And like when you see a crash, have you seen the crashes? Like when you've been literally right behind somebody as well?
Yeah. Sometimes you're able to don't crash, but sometimes you just crash with them. And then I don't know, like when it happens, like we, I don't know what's happened with the mind or something, but I always feel like when someone is crashing in front of me or close to me, it feels like time is like kind of slowing down.
Yeah.
So sometimes you're like able to save yourself, but sometimes you go down and just part of the sport, you go down and you hope nothing is broken. But
Man, it's like, it sounds like a Matrix in a bit, and like in slow mo, everything's going on around you.
Yeah. I don't know. I maybe it's like your body is like, you know, like your body knows that something's very, very potentially very dangerous is happening. So maybe, I don't know, that your focus is so intense not to crash that it feels like 1 second took like at least 10 seconds. Yeah. I don't know.
So a scenario, so when you've had to basically crash because you couldn't avoid it, how do you, like, do you have any, like, mental reset that you do to get yourself back into the race? Or anything that you kind of, that helps you at all?
So, like, when you crash, like, first thing you do, but you just make sure, you're able to get up.
Yeah.
So, because sometimes you're, like, 2 months ago, I broke my collarbone, so I pretty much couldn't get back on the bike.
Yeah.
But when you crash, normally you're just, okay, I'm good. You just look at your bike, if your wheels are straight, if your chain is on.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, there's like a caravan.
Yeah.
So you just make sure to stay calm and stay like, because especially after a crash, you're like, your heart rate is through the roof, your respiration is all fucked up.
Yeah.
So I've learned to, after a crash, you just make sure, because there's so much car, you can get back with the draft of the car into the peloton. So there's no stress. Like you can get the little help with the cars because it was a crash.
Mm-hmm.
So like a big thing is very to stay calm and very like regain your breath and just refocus on what you gotta do right now. So what I gotta do right now is make sure my bike is okay.
Mm-hmm.
If my bike is okay, I gotta go on my bike and drive the car until I'm in the peloton.
Yeah.
And like freaking out about it is not gonna help me. So
So is this something that they tell you when you first start road cycling, or do you learn it over like experience?
I don't know. I kind of learned it over experience. I'm pretty sure people told me, but I just
ignored it.
It just didn't. Yeah. It just didn't. Like when I was in the moment, it just didn't make sense.
Yeah.
In the moment, it was just I gotta go. But like when you do it enough time, you realize that there's no point in just like freaking out and going all out to regain your position in the peloton. You just have to relax and like I said, like regain your focus, then you're gonna be back anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are your goals then for your career so far? So is it, obviously you've been part of the national team, or you've been invited by Canada to represent. So what are your goals for now, for the future for yourself?
So in like smaller scales, I would say I want to avenge my counter performance that I did last year in the time trial.
Yep.
So I want to make sure to avenge that and get a good performance on this.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe longer scale for sure. Like pretty much all cyclists, my biggest dream is to do the Tour de France.
Yeah.
Or it's like the biggest cycling event in the world. So yeah, that's pretty much my goals for my big goals for that keeps me motivated every day to just put in the work.
Yeah. And to kind of like qualify for Tour de France, what do you have to go through in order to get there?
Yeah. So how it is in cycling? There's like levels. So there's like 21 World Tour team that are called. Let's say the World Tour team are pretty much like the NHL in hockey. I'll take the hockey because I'm from Canada. So pretty much like the NHL.
Yeah.
So me right now, I'm just below this level.
Okay.
So I'm like at the I think it's like in the hockey, it's like the American League or something.
Mm-hmm.
So you just gotta get on those teams. So like there's not a lot of rider under 25 years old that are at this level, because it's not like hockey, you don't sign at 18 years old.
Okay.
It's like a longer development sport.
Yeah.
Sport. So that like the first goal is to get on those like World Tour team.
Mm-hmm.
And after on those World Tour team, get selected to go to the Tour de France. So that's pretty much the path you have to take.
Okay. Yeah. So it's more like kind of getting recognized from a different team over that will help you get through to Tour de France.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. And then so now kind of I think probably a lot of people are interested to see what are like the mental differences that you experience, or no, what are the mental differences between pro cycling and other pro sports? Because I know like physically you can tell with all different sports, everyone else has like a different physique because they have different demands there. So obviously with pro cyclists, you have like, everyone with like these really developed legs, and obviously with the arms isn't as much because obviously you're not cycling with your arms kind of thing, as compared to like a sprinter who's just all round just like built for speed. Obviously you're built for endurance. Like, so in terms of mentally then, so what do you reckon is the mental demands for your sport a bit different to other sports?
I think that like in cycling, being able to like push yourself for a long time,
mm-hmm.
it's very a big thing. And like also I feel like in those endurance sports there's a lot of acceptance of your situation, because when it's like shorter work, I feel like even if you resist it and you just grind to it,
mm-hmm.
I feel like maybe it's the way to do it. But I feel like on those like 6 hour rides on or 5 hour races,
mm-hmm.
you gotta very like accept the moment and be at the moment and like really learn to like enjoy maybe when it's hard, like you have to be able to take joy in what you're doing, like being able to appreciate the moment even when it's hard. And but like not resisting everything that's happening is a big thing to be able to go through those long days.
Yeah because obviously endurance compared to all other sports, I think I just keep remembering how much you guys endure for cycling, and obviously you've chosen that sport because you're good at it. But is your endurance in terms of, let's say, your focus as well, has it been something that you've been good at before, like before you even cycling, or did it kind of develop over time?
I'm not sure. When I was younger, I was playing a lot of team sports. I would do soccer. I did also hockey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I wouldn't say I was like really privileged in endurance, but I just learned to like everything. Like if you practice and put the work, like for sure we don't have all the same starting line. Like I'm not gonna argue with that, but I feel like I've just been putting the hours in, and endurance has been building. Yeah.
And like with the focus as well, do you think that's improved because you were doing the sport, or do you think you always had like this ability to focus quite well?
No, that's not for sure. Like that's improved a lot with sports. Like,
okay.
I know it's not the same thing, but I was not able to focus for 2 minutes in classes, and I've been training my focus more and more, and like right now I'm able to like write or read for 4 hours, like, and I'm not distracted that much. So yeah, like training my focus has been like training your being able to focus, but also being able to put your focus when you want and where you want. That's a big thing also, but that's for sure. That has been a lot of training for me, and it's still need a lot of training.
So how have you like trained your focus then from your experience?
I've been like for sure just forcing yourself to refocus on one thing, and forcing yourself to know what's important, like what you need to focus on. Also making sure to that's a big one for me, like making sure to diminish all the distraction. Has helped me like regain my focus a lot. Like when I was like maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I would have always like passed my day on YouTube and Facebook, and it just like puts so much like gets you so much mental energy that when it's time to focus on something that's very valuable, you just don't have it anymore. So that's a big thing. And I also have been meditating for like 20 minutes a day for like 1.5 years now. So that's pretty much like regaining your focus every time you see it drift back. So that's also a focus practice that I do. So yeah, like knowing where to put it, knowing what's important in the moment, trying to diminish the distraction as you can, and I think meditation is helpful a lot too.
Cool. And so what do you think has helped you through your career mentally then, as in what skill? Obviously you said about what important skill there is, but what do you reckon has helped kind of put you above other people, maybe when you've been racing, or helping you achieve times that you weren't able to achieve before?
I think a big thing that has helped me is that I think I'm pretty good at like enduring pain and like being able to push through it. So like being able to know that pain is gonna be there, and like there's no way in refusing it. If you want to win, pain is gonna be there, and got to accept it. So I think that helped me a lot, like being able to push my body really to the limit. Like when we race or when we like train as team and we arrive at the top of the climb, like there's other people that are able to push themselves to the limit too, but I feel like that's one of my talents, being able to endure pain and be able to get better with it and use it to really get better.
Okay, cool. And so that makes sense. I mean obviously about enduring pain is such a big thing, and I guess it kind of means that you have like a high pain threshold too, so when the pain comes in, you're still able to just push through regardless of what level it is.
I guess I don't know. I didn't like that. The thing, I didn't experience under like another person's pain, so I don't know if mine is. So I'm not sure. I just know that when it hurts, I like to see how far I can go before I mentally give up.
So, fair enough. And so, what would be your kind of like tips then for somebody wanting to kind of become a pro cyclist for now? So like maybe training tips. What would you give?
To become a pro cyclist, I would say that, but if you're young, just don't just do road cycling. If you can, like, don't specialize yourself too soon, because one thing that has helped me a lot is like racing mountain bike, and when I was racing mountain bike, I also raced BMX. So there's a lot of skill acquisition that you get. Like we don't maybe don't see it a lot in road cycling, but it's a pretty technical sport, so don't try to specialize too soon. Like I didn't do road cycling before I was 18 years old, and been pretty good. I know people that have been doing it for 6 years, like this is their sixth, and it's not necessarily better. So yeah, I would say that. Then, like I said at the beginning, when you start training seriously, make sure you recover seriously and you take care of all the other things that are important. So the mental side of things, nutrition and the recovery are you cannot forget. Just training is not gonna get you anywhere. Mm-hmm. So don't underestimate them, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. And so finally, is there anything you want kind of people to be aware of about yourself? Like maybe things you want to promote out there, things you want people to have more attention about at all?
Stop a little bit less comparing yourself to everyone else, that you just feel better about yourself. Mm-hmm. Just take other success and aspiration and try to get better and meet your own standard of excellence, and just use other to learn from them. And stop comparing yourself each day and beating yourself up. Just do your best. It's gonna be enough. That's a big thing for me. I was never satisfied, and just as an athlete and as someone who is chasing a goal, I feel you have to be unsatisfied with something, because you want to reach something, and that's what's driving you to express your best self. But also being able to recognize starting line, and that giving your best work is enough. And it's,
yeah. Oh, you just broke up a bit. So you said being able to recognize.
Sorry, what did you say?
Oh, you just broke up for a bit, a couple of seconds before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you said obviously setting your own goals, obviously focusing on yourself, don't care too much about judgment, and then you say being able to recognize, and then you cut off from there.
Oh, okay. I was just saying being able to recognize the work you've put in and being proud of yourself. It's a big thing. Being able to pause and congratulate yourself, and just being able to recognize this is gonna also help you to be better, because it's gonna give you a lot of confidence, and it's gonna also allow you to learn from what you did great, so you're gonna repeat it in the future. And yeah.